Yes.
Standby.
Yep, it's on.
Okay, the time now is 2:04. I'll turn the meeting over to Chairman Egan.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for participating by phone and by video during this COVID crisis. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. The regular meeting of the commission, January 13, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present, and I'm going to read from a list of the commissioners. Commissioner Barry,
present.
Mr. Einhorn?
Present.
Mr. Giudice? Mr. Giudice?
Present.
Mr. Hankins? Mr. Streeter?
Here.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Winkler.
Present.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Thank you all. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted telephonically due to the COVID pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first, stating your name, Mr. Owen Egan, and then you can speak. That is for purposes of the recording. Please do that each time you are called upon to speak. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission in its deliberations. If the commission believes that any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman, which is me. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. Furthermore, each person must ask the chairman for permission to speak before they speak. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll call. I will conduct the roll. First item is consideration of the minutes of the commission's meeting, December 9, 2020. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Permission to make a motion? Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the minutes of the December 9th, 2020 commission meeting.
Commissioner Winkler, I second it.
Thank you. I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. So if you're in favor, please say aye. Commissioner Barry? Commissioner Barry, where do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Einhorn?
Aye.
Giudice?
Aye.
Mr. Streeter?
Aye.
Winkler?
Aye.
And then Owen Egan, the chairman, also votes aye. The motion passes. First item, the next item is consideration of the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are publicly accessible on our website, which is www.ct.gov/FOI through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take cases in the order that they are called. The first item on the agenda is docket number FIC 2020-0028. William McKinney versus Attorney General, State of Connecticut, Office of the Attorney General, et al. That case has been withdrawn, and Mr. McKinney indicated at the beginning of this matter that he was not going to attend. So I'd entertain a motion.
Commissioner Streeter here. I move that we adopt the hearing officer's report as long as the respondents don't have any issue with it.
Commissioner Winkler, I second.
Do the respondents have an issue with that?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mary Schlind. The respondents indicated that they would not be attending today.
Okay. So the motion's been made and seconded. I'm going to take a roll on those in favor. Those in favor, Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0073, Jan Gon Wallach, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. President Wallach?
Yes, I am President. This is Jan Gon, the complainant.
Is there anyone there from the other?
I'm sorry, this is Commissioner Hankins. I just finally got in on the telephone. Sorry for the interruption.
Thank you, Commissioner Hankins. Is there anyone there on the other side of the Gualic matter?
Yes, Attorney Lepore for the respondent.
Okay. So, Mr. Gualic, would you like to proceed?
Yes, sir. Just tell me when I can begin.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Jan Garlick, docket number 2020-703. I requested from the Connecticut State Police racial profiling compact disc, which was sent to the Department of Corrections, Freedom of Information Commission, and they denied it, stating that the way it was delivered was unacceptable. I and the respondents are public agencies, the Connecticut Department of Corrections, under 1-201. I indicated that because I am a pro se inmate and I do my civil action, the Department of Corrections stated that I cannot have it, that they're going to send it to anybody outside of the Department of Corrections to litigate. I have nobody to litigate out there for me. That's why it's called pro se, because I am my own litigator. And when I requested this CD, I informed Mr. Buttricks, the warden of Cheshire Correctional, 11/25/2019, that I will be receiving a DVD and other DVDs, and he says we will provide you the opportunity to review. And under these circumstances, Councilor Campanelli says that the CD was not allowed because of a public safety hazard, and because of this, they denied this. And later on in January, I received the DVDs of my criminal trial from my attorney, as a matter of fact, Attorney Arthur Ledford of Hamden, Connecticut, and I was provided the opportunity to review my CDs. And also, with the last meeting we had on 220-003 and then the last officer's hearing, I requested CDs to be sent in, and I received those CDs. With no problem, and there's a place to review this, and even that the warden Buttricks, before he retired, he said that we will provide you an opportunity, and I even have the documentation over here that says on 1/29/2020, inmate viewed compact disc video evidence provided by Attorney Ledford, and I don't know why the Department of Corrections is playing kumbaya because one denies it, they all deny it, and this is a matter of not allowing somebody to access the courts, and I'm being denied access to the courts for this. They sell CDs, they sell music CDs. I also provided Attorney Lampore a copy of the video that I viewed. I received five other CDs in here, and even that the commission and there's hearing, I sent the evidence after on page on section on the paragraph that says the exhibit received by the commission on November 6, 2020 has been marked Exhibit C, Exhibit E. Also, Miss Kathleen Ross received it that I did review the CDs. And reading the officer's hearing report, it states that the CD was held not because of the contact, because of the way it was delivered, because of the CD. And it's considered contraband. How can you deny one thing and then allow seven other CDs from other legal areas? I received five CDs from the Freedom of Information Commission. I mean, there's no texture or quality difference between a video, DVD, or a regular CD, it says. I found filed also a grievance with the against this, and the unit administrator, which is right under the warden, he says, you are attempting to grieve an issue where you were denied documentation contained on a CD requested through the Freedom of Information Act. This denial was done by FOI liaison at Cheshire while acting in her official capacity. The proper avenue to appeal this would be through the Freedom of Information Commission, not the administrative remedies. So my legal to appeal for final grievance was rejected. They don't want to know nothing, the Department of Corrections. They're saying that the Department, that the Freedom of Information Commission, the buck stops at you guys. And I've received CDs, like I stated, from you, five of them. There's no problem. They sell music CDs. I viewed information on the video evidence, as I stated already. The department, and I got the documentation there. I sent it to Ms. Latour. She also knows this. And basically, this is a kumbaya situation. They are just all stick together. But they do one thing one way, and then they do whatever they want. When one denies it, then everybody denies it. But then why do they allow all these other CDs then, but they won't allow these CDs where I could view it, and I view it basically in layman terms. They just lied to the commission at the hearing office. And basically, I request the CD because I'm a pro se litigant, and this will deny me access to courts. Thank you very much.
Okay, counsel?
Thank you. I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report. And just to briefly address some of the claims that the complainant brought up, yes, we do sell music CDs and commissary, and the inmates have the ability to listen to those CDs using a CD player. Here, the CD contained documents. A CD player would not give you the ability to review those documents. You would need access to a computer. The Freedom of Information Act does not require us to provide a computer to inmates to review these documents that they might receive. If the complainant has in the past viewed documents in the process of a litigation, that's a separate avenue. We're not talking about litigation right now. We're not talking about access to courts right now. Right now, the only issue is the Freedom of Information Act. And here, it is a matter of our administrative directive on whether or not the medium by which the public records are contained on is contraband. Per 6.9 of our administrative directives, it is. Council Supervisor Campanelli, as well as DESE, has offered to send the CDs out to somebody in the community, and they can print the records for him, they can view the records for him. This is not an access to court issue. To conclude, I would urge adoption of the hearing officer's report because this is not an issue that is within the jurisdiction of the Freedom of Information Act.
Why can't these records, this is Chairman Owen Egan, why can't these records just be printed and given to him?
These are not DOC records, just to be clear. These are DESE records. DESE could print them and give them to him, and I believe that they offered him that option. I think it was about $54 to print those records for him, and he chose not to go down that avenue.
Sir, is that correct?
Yeah, Commissioner Egan, I am indigent on this, and this is why I was unable to purchase these. I'm also disabled under the Americans with Disabilities Act, where it constitutes me indigency under Administrative Americans with Disabilities Act. So when they sent the CD in, I'm still allowed to be able to receive a CD as they are public records under the meaning of 1-200. And I am able to review them, and if any kind of legal documents, courts, judicial, attorneys, or anything I require to leak for litigation, they have to give this to me. And like I said, the commission, the unit administrator says that the ball is in your court, Freedom of Information, Commissioner Egan.
Are you receiving, am I correct, you're saying you have other CDs in your cell?
Yes, I received your Freedom of Information Commissions. I believe we had on December last hearing on 2020-003 and on 20-007-3 with Kathleen Ross. I received those CDs. There was no problem with those. All five. five of those CDs I received from Attorney Ledford, video documented evidence of my criminal case, and I was able to view this within the administration office here on the computer. And what Ms. Lepore is saying is actually fabrication. She's just trying to confuse the Freedom of Information issue. Under access to courts, we're allowed CDs of our criminal case and civil litigation if I'm a pro se, sir.
Okay. Is Attorney Ross there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here. Sorry about that. I had my microphone on.
No problem. Can you help with this dilemma? It seems that he's receiving other CDs, but yet they're stating that these CDs, for some reason, are contraband because these particular CDs can be broken up and used as a weapon. I think his point is all CDs could be broken up and used as a weapon, so why did he get some and not others? And how is that a legitimate objection here by the respondent?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as the report states, I think that we need to draw a distinction between the respondent's administrative directive and what that says and the exemption under the Freedom of Information Act. Although the DOC cited a provision of the Freedom of Information Act as to why they were withholding the records, what I'm suggesting in the report is that that exemption is a red herring. It was raised erroneously. It's how the matter got before the commission, but this is not a dispute that involves this particular exemption. This is a dispute that involves the DOC's administrative directive. The commission does not have jurisdiction over the enforcement of the administrative directive. Now, it may very well be, and the complainant makes a very valid point, that it does seem like the DOC is not uniformly enforcing its administrative directive. So does it seem a little bit unusual that the inmates are allowed to even purchase music CDs in the commissary, but yet they're not allowed to have DVDs, which is essentially the same medium, in their cells because they don't have a way to view them in their cells? But I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that that just is simply outside of this commission's jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction over the exemptions. They're not claiming that the records themselves, i.e. the racial profiling reports, are contraband, which was what was at issue in prior decisions where the commission did find jurisdiction. In this case, they're saying that the CD is contraband, but the CD isn't a public record. CD is not a public record, so therefore, we don't have jurisdiction over this, and that's what the report concludes.
The material on the CD is a public record, is it not?
Correct. Right. Correct. But if you read the report, Mr. Chairman, let me just point you to the paragraph. The
10 and 11.
Yeah, 10 and 11. So the DOC's witness acknowledged that the content of the CD is a public record and is not contraband. The DOC doesn't have an issue, apparently, with the content. The DOC has an issue with the method of delivery. And I would suggest that we don't have jurisdiction over the method of delivery.
Understood. Thank you.
Can I speak, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I want to hear if any other commissioners have any questions. Does anyone on the commission have a question? None? No questions from the commissioners? Okay. Yes, sir. You wanted to say something?
Yes, this is Garlic Jan, the complainant. Mr. Commissioner. I've received five of them, are information under the Public Act. The only difference is one's got a video and one's got an audio. Like I stated, Mr. Commissioner, I received my criminal DVD from my attorney. They allowed me to view it on a computer. They could easily allow me the same way to review my racial profiling on the computer because it falls under either criminal or civil litigation. I received the CDs from your hearings on 2020-0003 and Ms. Ross's hearing 0073. I was listening to those. There is no distinction between the quality. I mean, it's not a special CD that one gets that's 10 feet wide or then one that's about 3 inches wide. They're just making the distinction saying that it could be used as a weapon. If they're going to allow all these CDs in, then there's going to be lawsuits that are going to state denial of access to courts. Even your CDs that I received is public information. I received them. What is the difference between a DVD and a CD where I can view it here, and they're saying they're not? They're just fabricating that they can't, Mr. Commissioner. Thank you, sir.
So, Mr. Gross, I think Attorney Ross has clearly stated that we don't have jurisdiction over a plastic CD that can be broken up. We have jurisdiction over materials, records. The records were sent to you. They're legitimately public records. You can obtain them. It's the method by which you receive them that your host will not allow you to have. So you need to work that out with your host and not with this body. This body is clear that these records legitimately come to you. They have come to you. It's just not in the form that her host will allow you to receive them. So I will ask counsel. It doesn't make sense that he has other CDs and yet you're claiming he can't have this CD because it can be broken up and used as a weapon. Why are the other CDs allowed to be possessed when they also could be broken up and used as a weapon?
Right. Okay. So the CDs that he is referring to, he has the ability to listen to using a CD player.
I don't think that's the audio issue. I said, can it be broken up and used as a weapon?
Yes, sure. It could.
Why is he allowed those CDs and not this CD? It's just I'm curious. It's not relevant to this matter, but I'm curious as to why, because it's cited in Section 11. Not others.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of that question.
Why is he allowed some CDs that can be broken up and used as a weapon and not others, like this CD, that two sites can be broken up and used as a weapon?
I actually have Councilor Supervisor Campanelli here who testified about this at the underlying hearing.
Good afternoon. One thing I would point out, the main difference here is what he has access to. When we give them music CDs, he has a CD player. He has access in his bunker, cell, wherever it is, to those CDs. The records that are sent to him that just have Word files, things of that nature, he does not access to readily go see that. That we, as far as safety and security is concerned and the custody end of it, that's a blank CD in his possession that he does not have access to use. And that we have a reasonable belief that if there's a CD he's going to pick to use as a weapon, it's going to be a blank one, not one that he has access to. And that's the main difference in the two CDs that we're talking about. One, he has the ability to look at. The other, he does not. Sometimes prisons are given court orders to allow the lenders to do them, but again, that's done under a court order. That's not done under FOI or any CDs that are sent in via FOI.
Commissioner Egan, that's a senseless answer.
Okay.
This is Jan Gold, excuse me.
All right. Does anyone else on the commission have any questions? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, this is Commissioner Fuse. I should have one question. Maybe I should know the answer to this. Why do we as a commission have to deliver or choose to deliver this material in a CD format?
Commissioner Fuse, this is Mary Schwind. We generally, when we receive a request, any kind of request for public records, try to accommodate the requester and provide the information in whatever medium they request it, if we can. It's just been our policy.
So you're saying this was requested in a CD format?
I believe so, yes.
Can we confirm that?
I can at the moment. I'd have to go into the office. But generally, when we receive requests for recordings of our hearings, the request is for a CD, and that's what we generally do.
But the content could have been delivered in a different format?
The only other format I could think of would be possibly through email. We don't have transcripts. We don't normally transcribe the hearings because of the cost. However, if an individual requests a transcript of one of our hearings, we will do so and pass that cost along to the requester.
So it's a cost issue?
Yes.
I'm just a cost issue, partly. CD can transfer this at no cost, whereas
right.
Other medium would require a cost.
Exactly. It's a very minimal cost, I don't know, cents to provide the CD. It's very easy, and it's quick, too.
This is Commissioner Hankin. Paragraph 2 of the hearing report notes that the complainant himself requested that the information be provided on a CD.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Commissioner Hankin.
Take the picture to show you what the stuff is there.
Thank
you. Good afternoon. Commissioner Cave is joining the meeting.
Okay, wonderful. Welcome. So, unless there's anything further, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's made and seconded. I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Abstain.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Yeshi?
Aye.
Mr. Hankin?
Aye.
Mr. Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Commissioner Egan.
Thank you. That is PIN number FIC 2020-0095, Jason Good versus Roland Cook. Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Good?
This is Attorney Jennifer Lepore for the respondents. The complainant has stated that he did not want to participate in this hearing. An email was sent to the commission to that effect.
Thank you. Would you like to be heard?
Just to urge adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's made and seconded. I'm going to take, is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote of all those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Fideschi?
Aye.
Mr. Hankin?
Aye.
Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. So it passes unanimously. Thank you.
You can add Commissioner Einhorn to that too.
Sorry, Chairman. Commissioner Einhorn, I apologize. I'm sorry about that. Didn't mean to miss you.
Sorry.
My apologies.
I just feel quivering, that's all.
All right. So, docket number FIC 2020-0047, Louise Starr versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, et al. Is Louise Starr there, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. It looks like this was a withdrawal and a dismissal. If, obviously, if the go ahead.
Anyone there from the State of Connecticut? Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Streeter.
Yes, I'd like, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move this for adoption, please.
Okay.
I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Please say aye. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes, aye.
Mr. Giudice?
Aye.
Mr. Hankins?
Aye.
Mr. Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye as well. Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0070, Catherine Camara versus Chief Police Department, Town of Watertown, et al. Is Catherine Camara there, please? Anyone from the Town of Watertown there, please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Attorney William Stevens and Chief Berniger are here on behalf of the respondent.
Would you like to be heard?
Given the fact that the complainant is not present, I would just simply say that we wholeheartedly agree with Attorney Reed's post-finding, and we urge that you adopt it.
Thank you. We'll call Catherine Camara one more time. Is Catherine Camara there, please? Okay, hearing none, no response. I'd ask for a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. Seeing that the complainant is not here and there's no objection to the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Barry?
Aye.
Mr. Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Mr. Giudice?
Aye.
Mr. Hankins?
Aye.
Mr. Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan is aye. It passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0078, Len Susio versus Governor, State of Connecticut, Office of the Governor, et al. Is Len Susio there, please? Calling Len Susio. Is there anyone there from the governor's office? No one there for the state of Connecticut?
Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy. I've joined the meeting. We do have a note that both of these parties were going to attend, so I'm a little concerned that neither one of them is on the line. Perhaps we could... I'm thinking perhaps if you could give us a moment to look into it over here, and yeah, maybe we can move on to the next item.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next item. We'll pass this for now. The next is consideration of the Superior Court Judicial District of New Britain order dated December 14th, 2020, in James Torlai versus Freedom of Information Commission, docket number HHG. CV 1950-269-23-S.
Mr. Chairman, this is a follow-up to an earlier order issued by the court against Mr. Torlai, and you might recall that there was a second hearing scheduled to determine whether there ought to be penalties imposed upon Mr. Torlai, and I'll ask Attorney Harmon to just briefly report on that order, which you should have all seen, but she'll give you a little further flavor to it.
Good afternoon. So this is a case that was heard by Attorney McGee at the commission in which Mr. Torlai had asked for records from the West Harbor Police Department. In accordance with the way he described those records, the police department looked for responsive records but couldn't find any. They asked him to clarify with his request approximately five times, which he refused to do. At the contested case hearing, Attorney McGee asked Mr. Torlai several times whether he could provide additional information about the records that he wanted because West Hartford PD couldn't find them. And he also refused to do that for the hearing officer. When the hearing concluded, but before Attorney McGee was able to write the proposed decision, Mr. Torlai filed the records that he had been seeking from the West Harford Police Department. So The case was dismissed by the commission, but when Mr. Torlai appealed, I created the administrative record for the court. And, of course, I included those post-hearing filings by Mr. Torlai. The West Harbor Police Department filed a motion after I completed the administrative record indicating that the records that Mr. Torlai wanted, and which he in fact had been erased. And they had been erased from the time he made the request, although they couldn't locate the records because he failed to describe them properly. They informed the court that the records were erased. At that point, I was instructed to refile the administrative record with those records redacted. Motions were made at that point in the litigation at the Superior Court that Mr. Torlai had the records were erased, and that this litigation should not continue. In fact, he should withdraw. He refused to withdraw. We had oral argument. Of course, the appeal was dismissed, and then the court scheduled this sanctions hearing. And I think what's interesting about and helpful to us is that the court held this hearing, and they swore in Mr. Torlai. Both counsel for the police department and I had a chance to cross-examine him on what went on at the commission meeting in the court, and then this sanction order issued. And so what Judge Clown says is that, first of all, he had the very records that he had been seeking from the department, and that his purpose in filing the administrative appeal was to harass the department. That's in paragraph 12. The court also went on to say that he realized, or he knew, or he should have realized during the litigation at the Superior Court, that the records he was re-requesting from the department were erased, and that the litigation shouldn't have progressed. So based on these findings, the court said it found by clear and convincing evidence that by continuing to prosecute the appeal after he realized the records were erased, Mr. Torlai engaged in dilatory, bad faith, and harassing litigation. Now, the counsel for the West Harbor Police Department indicated they did not want monetary sanctions to issue, but Judge Cloud does note in the order that it is within the court's discretion in a case like this to order the plaintiff to pay the public agency's attorney's fees, which in this case, I think the figure in paragraph 9 should read $100,000. That didn't happen, but he did make a finding that we can consider, that the commission can consider, that the plaintiff it acted in bad faith, and the commission may consider this decision in determining whether the plaintiff is a vexatious filer in future proceedings with regard to the West Harford Police Department, I think is the fair reading of that. So it's a very strong case for this kind of harassing, which we see from time to time, harassing litigation. And I like that the department didn't pursue the monetary fees, but they got the court to say that, you know, if you're going to harass the department for records that you have that you really shouldn't even have, you're going to end up paying for that in the end. So it's a nice strong decision. Judge Cloud took a lot of time in hearing the post-decision sanctions hearing and letting us cross-examine Mr. Torlai. Attorney McGee's questioning at the contested case hearing were very helpful, where he refused to provide additional descriptive information and then to file the very records that he was requesting after the close of the hearing. I think he just did himself in. So it's a nice decision. I haven't seen a decision like this before, and I was happy with the outcome in this case. Thank you.
John, is there any action we need to take on that, Attorney Murphy?
No, nothing to be done there. Just we will hold that in our vault for future reference. under pending appeals, yeah, we still don't have any word yet on that other case, so we'll just move on to pending appeals. I believe we have a new appeal since the last time we met, and it's the case involving the Madison Police Department and the unsolved murder of Barbara Hamburg, which was the subject to some degree of that documentary on HBO, and it appears that the Madison Police Department did not release all of the records, and it also appears that they did not inform the requesters that they were not providing all of the records. The requesters eventually realized it, and they had some back and forth, and then ultimately Madison said that they were going to appeal, and ordinarily they'd be well beyond the appeal period, but there is another executive order that had provided an abeyance of the appeal period under the UAPA for a while. So essentially Madison held off on filing any appeal until that order expired. So we've got that new appeal. Unfortunately, they have filed a motion for stay, which I believe our attorney Reed, who is going to handle it for us, is going to object to the motion for stay. And you might recall that in that case, there was a lot of dialogue about whether the police department had really given us any evidence to find that the records shouldn't be disclosed because they might harm a prospective law enforcement action. And so I think we plan to take the position that that still holds true, that they don't have a likelihood of success on the merits, and we're going to try to knock it out on the motion for stay. So we'll keep you posted on that. So that was a little bit of a long report on that one, but it's a very interesting case. I don't think we have any other new pending appeals, and I still don't see any sign of Cindy Cannata went to check on those parties for us. So I'll just keep moving on, if that's okay by you. On to the status of commission operations during the pandemic. And, you know, as I've reported in the past, we're continuing to hear hearings so far just by telephone, but we're meeting tomorrow to talk about bringing some of the cases online by video. We have a few cases that appear to be, you know, pretty complex, and we think that video format would really benefit everyone there. So we are moving quickly to do that. Under the relocation of our commission's offices, the date for our move now is tentatively set for the last week in April. So I'm not sure how firm a date it is. I'm told that some of the materials for our offices are still in the UK, but we've tentatively set that date for April. So we're starting to clean out our offices. Then on staff reports, oh, wait, I do have a note coming through on that case. We have no answer from either of the parties in the matter that's Len Susio versus the governor, state of Connecticut. So it's
Colleen?
Yes.
Colleen,
Wendy.
It's Wendy. I have an email here that Mr. Susio it was from Phil Miller that said if Mr. Susio intended to speak, then he would be attending the meeting. Len Susio had questions about how to go about it and had talked to Tom Hennick. So my last talk with both of them was that they were going to, I thought Mr. Susio was going to attend. I'm wondering if he, after talking to Tom, decided not to. And then Phil Miller decided not to because he was only going to speak if Len Susio was. I'm sorry for the confusion.
No. Thank you very much, Wendy. Is Tom, are you on the line perchance?
I am here.
Any further light on that?
He was asking for procedure, and I explained to him that you would have a chance to argue the merits of the proposed hearing officer's decision, not introduce any new evidence as a standard line, and I never heard back from him. So I suspect when he read that, he decided, I'm guessing, that he wasn't going to attend.
Okay. Thank you. So it's at the discretion of the commission at this point, based upon that information, whether we should move forward.
Why don't we move forward until we get and do the up to the legislative report and then come back to it?
Okay. We'll continue on. I did have a report under staff reports, and that is to advise that our attorney, Victor Perpetua, has announced his plan to retire on March 1st, 2021. So we are working with Victor right now to, you know, finish out his caseload and preparing for his departure after a long, long time of service with the commission. So I don't know if Victor is on and just wants to say anything quickly. There will be maybe some other time to do that, but you're welcome to speak, Victor, if you'd like.
Thanks, Colleen, but I'll defer to another time.
Okay. and then in...
Sorry to lose Victor. I know it's going to be wonderful for him to retire, but it'll be a great loss to the Freedom of Information Commission. So we're sorry to lose you, Victor.
Thank you, Roland.
You do a wonderful job.
I think we all join in sentiment. Yes.
Have time to play your music.
That's right.
Assuming that there continues to be music in our post-pandemic world.
That's right.
Let's hope so.
We can address that at another meeting.
Okay.
Formally.
Yes. Okay. In addition to that, I wanted to let you know that we are beginning the interviews for that Staff Attorney 1 position, and we had a committee review all of the resumes and applications, and we have a good pool of candidates, and we've got our first team ready to consider the selected group. So we're moving along with that. Let's see. So under legislative report, just really want to, you know, let you know that the legislative session last week began, and a little bit different start than is usually the case. The legislators were sworn in outside at a distance from each other, so it was a little bit different, but we have decided as a staff not to recommend any legislation, you know, as a package from the commission this year. We feel pretty good about the police accountability legislation that included, you know, the commission's main proposal last year to some degree about access to disciplinary records. And so we think it's a good idea, and especially given pandemic times and the necessary work of the legislature, that maybe we'll just try to lay low on any of our issues, but we'll be there to defend and advise regarding any matters that might impact our law. And there are a couple of bills already that are Freedom of Information related, and we'll keep you posted on those as soon as we see if they're going to progress anywhere. I think that's about it, other than we're also setting up some meetings, some virtual meetings with the GAE chairs and a few other legislators. So, of course, those will all be done virtually this year, and that's going to feel really, really different. So, but we are setting them up as we would normally at this time. So that's it for now. I don't have any new business. If you want to go back to that matter.
So I want to call docket number FIC 2020-0078, Len Suzio versus Governor, State of Connecticut, Office of the Governor, et al. Again, is there anyone there on that matter? So we passed this matter, and we finished all the other items on our agenda, and now we come back to it. The time is roughly 2:53 in the afternoon. I'm open for suggestions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter.
Yeah.
I would suggest that, you know, we can pass this motion, and then if for some reason we find out later, we can take up at another meeting for reconsideration.
So table it for now?
I would vote on it, and then we can always...
agree.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the, it was a dismissal, I move that we adopt the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote, and if you are in agreement, please say aye.
Barry.
Aye.
Mr. Chavez.
Aye.
Mr. Einhorn.
Aye.
Mr. Fuseschi.
Aye.
Mr. Hankins.
Aye.
Mr. Streeter.
Aye.
Mr. Winkler.
Aye.
And Owen Egan is also aye, so it passes unanimously. Thank you all.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter again. Seeing that this is the end of business, I move that we adjourn.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Okay. By roll, all in favor, Commissioner Perry?
Aye.
Mr. Chavez?
Aye.
Mr. Einhorn?
Aye.
Mr. Fuseschi?
Aye.
Mr. Hankins?
Aye.
Mr. Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And Owen Egan, aye. It passes unanimously. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much. And thank you, everybody on the staff, for your hard work.
Thank you.
Good job.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.